I'm going to begin with a question. Do you desire a closer relationship with God? There's a whole range of ways you can answer it, isn't there? You might not care two hoots about God. You might be working out who God might be. You might know who God is and what he's done and be quite comfortable with a distant relationship that you have with him or the relationship you've established with no desire for it to be closer. Or you might know God as your Lord and Saviour, and you might be working, striving, struggling, desiring a closer relationship with him. Do you want to love him more, obey him more, know him more, serve him more? Hudson Taylor was someone who wanted to know God more. He wanted a closer relationship with God. And he didn't just sit back and hug trees hoping that that would happen. He didn't just think a closer relationship would turn up. He pursued it by working harder at living in a complete dependence on God, to trust God and to please God. Actually, the reading we had from 1 Thessalonians 4, one of Hudson Taylor's favourite readings, says this: "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more." Or from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16: "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that being rooted and established in love may have power, being rooted and established in love may have power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I once got an email from someone who told me that they would like to have a loose association, a casual association, I think was the words, with our church. I thought, oh, it'd be interesting to see what that really means. Do you want a casual association with God? Or do you want to pursue him, know him, love him, and serve him? I guess it's my prayer that for all of us, as we look at the life of Hudson Taylor, our desire to pursue God increases. But there is a danger if you pursue God. And what you're doing is saying, "I want God, I want you to rule my life more than I rule my life." And we started our service recognising that tension, that we often do our own thing rather than God's thing. And so when you pursue a closer relationship with God, you're saying, "Listen, I more often than not want to try and obey God and do his thing rather than my thing," and that has consequences. You're going to put your glory aside and seek his glory, and it will cost you. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pray, to trust God's goodness with everything that you have? Hudson Taylor was born on the 21st of May, 1832. His parents knew and loved and served God. They actually had generations who followed God in their families. They had people in their families who not only knew about God, but they had a heart for the gospel. It was more than just turning up to church on Sundays and doing their bit. It was actually desiring that the gospel might be taught both here and throughout the world. Hudson Taylor's dad, his parents taught him many lifelong lessons, but his dad was a pharmacist and a lay preacher. Hudson, as he grew up, had a delicate constitution, which means that he was not all that healthy. In fact, they didn't even send him to school because they were fearful of the bugs he might catch at school. And so he spent a lot of time with his parents, and his parents, as his parents with their friends, would discuss the world that they lived in and their heart, that which was to serve God. And so he heard about what was happening in China. China was the Middle East of his day. That was where the violence was. That was where the conflict with Britain had been and continued to be. But they didn't talk about the war effort. They talked about the gospel. China is a place with 400 million people who know nothing about Jesus. And the British at that stage had their foot or their toes in just four little ports. From about 4 or 5 years old, Hudson Taylor had a desire to go to China as a missionary, probably just because he's listened to the conversations of his parents. Gives you an idea what he would have grown up with. But as he grew older, that dream was impossible, or it seemed impossible, because he was a sickly boy with delicate constitution. His health would be never good enough for him to endure the rigours and the hardship of sea travel and going into a place like China with nothing around at all. Now, there's literally hundreds of pages of journals, journal entries and letters that Hudson Taylor wrote in his life. He wrote all the time to his sister. His brother died and his sister became his confidant. And so he would often write to her and share his heart to her. So you can read what was going on in his heart at the time. We're only going to scratch the surface just briefly as we look at a bloke who didn't just know God as an intellectual thing, but actually knew God and desired to serve him. About 17 and a half years old, Hudson Taylor would say he felt a very decisive call to go to China. So remember, 4 and a half, 5, he's wanting to go to China, but impossible dream. By 17 and a half, that dream, he felt God is saying, I want you to go to China. This is what he wrote about it. Never shall I forget, he wrote, the feeling that came over me then. Words can never describe it. I felt I was in the presence of God, entering into covenant with the Almighty. I felt as though I wished to withdraw my promise, but could not. Something seemed to say, your prayer is answered, your conditions are accepted. And from that time, the conviction never left me that I was called to China. For distinctly, as if a voice had spoken, the command was given, then go for me to China. And so he prepared for it. He didn't just get on a boat. He started having a life that was focused on him getting to China because he felt God had sent him there. He'd had a passion for it. He's got a passion for the gospel anyhow. So he learns basic Chinese. He studies their culture. He works as a doctor and trains as a doctor. He learns Hebrew and Greek, and he does all of this with almost no money and no resources. And so he can't go and buy textbooks; that's too expensive. He just learns to trust God as he learns, and it didn't. That does not mean that he went out into a commune into the desert, and just hoped that it would all turn up on his doorstep. You see, Taylor knew that if he could learn to trust God now, when he was in China learning, that would mean that when he was in China, he would have the foundations of trust very well established. One of his most famous sayings is, depend upon it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And he meant it. And he didn't just mean it for little things, he meant it for all of life, health, and money, and faith, and peace, and strength. In fact, even life itself. One of his favourite texts from Philippians 4, verse 19, my God will meet all your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So the centre beam of his faith was Jesus. Who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. The glorious riches of the gospel. Now, just to give you an idea how much he desired that close walk with the Lord, when he met a girl, before he'd gone over to China, he met a girl, he wanted to marry the girl, she wanted to marry him, and the protocol of the day is you need dad's permission. Not necessarily a bad thing, might I say, but anyhow, we'll leave that one alone at the moment. I've got a gun license for anyone. my poor kids. The father said flatly, no way. So you go and ask for the daughter's hand in marriage, and Hudson Taylor, being the sort of, diplomatic sort of person he was, basically said, I'm going to China, I want to marry your daughter, you'll never see her again. He expected to die in China, so I don't know what he expected her to do. And now the father refused. And for the other reason is, remember, the Brits and the Chinese, they don't really get on. It's like going to Aleppo. Just try asking your future wife or husband if they want to follow you to Aleppo. And then ask their parents. So dad says no, and he says this. Is it all worth it? Like he wants them to get married, but he wants Hudson Taylor to put aside this China idea. Is it all worthwhile? Why should you go to China? Why toil and suffer all your life for an ideal of duty? Give it up now while you can win her yet. Earn a proper living like everyone else and serve God at home, for you can win her yet. You know, that's the dad thing. So Hudson forgets that relationship, sadly. And he goes to China. People are saying, listen, get married before you go go to China. And he goes to China single. And he's a guy who says, I want to go to China. God has called me there. I'm prepared to trust him. So you see, it was real trust. It wasn't this pseudo stuff that people often talk about. I'll trust God as long as I don't get an ingrowing toenail. There are so many stories I could tell you of Hudson Taylor's life as he served and trusted God in the lead up to China. This is before he gets there. He said, a trip across the ocean does not turn a person into a missionary, or doesn't read it properly, does not make a person more a soul winner. If you cannot be a missionary at home, you will not be one at overseas. And you know the people who turn it on for God when they're on mission trips and have no real desire to follow God when they're at home? Hudson Taylor would be terribly sad at that sort of thing. He doesn't own that sort of thing. And so he said, if I'm going to have to trust God in China with little, I'm going to have to trust God in England before I leave to China with little. And he does. And he talked about the letters. His trust that he reflects in those letters that he writes to his sister is incredible. Prayerful dependence on God's gracious provision. A refusal to ask people for money. Even doesn't want to ask his boss for money because God, who is sovereign, will cause his boss to give to pay him when it's right. Now, just before he sets out for China, he gets a pinprick. He working as a doctor. They pull apart bodies. He gets a pinprick. I think it was blood poisoning. They don't call it that in those days. And everyone says, listen, make your peace with God. You're going to be with him very soon. And so everyone's expecting him to die, and he lives through that. He just takes that as confirmation that God actually does want him in China again. You know, so he's absolutely set on the idea that God has showed him that the gospel needs to go to China. And he's prepared to trust God. He gets to China. He sails to China. Actually, before he gets there, he sails out on a ship called the Dumfries, 5.5 months at sea. And he does this trip there and back 10 times whilst he's on in his life. So about 4.5 to 5 years of his life is spent on ships. Ships are not pleasure cruises in those days. The first ship, I've got a picture here. The first trip that he does, he leaves from Liverpool for all these non-Brits. That's just there. And this here is the Cape that he almost gets killed on. So, you know, that's just a few days into your 5.5 month trip. This huge storm comes, and the people on the boat basically make their preparations to die. That's what you did when your ship is just going full bore at rocks. The sea, he describes, I can give you the detail later if you want. And so they're all ready to die. They've all made their peace with God. They've all prayed, you know, it's a very pseudo-religious and genuine Christian people on board, and they prayed, and right at the last minute, let me tell you what, within 2 boat lengths of getting crushed on the rocks, he writes, on Carnarvon Bay, if you know where that is, that's why the arrow's pointing to the bay below the arrow, within 2.5 boat lengths, the wind shifts slightly and drives them past the headland. And so Hudson Taylor's on this ship full of pseudo-religious people saying, oh, I think we'll be right, we'll go into China. Or afterwards he's saying, they're expecting to die beforehand. The God who wants me in China has saved us. Just to capture his trust and his struggle with what does it mean to trust God alone. In this storm, his mum, a couple of days beforehand, has given him the equivalent of a light vest. They call it a swimming belt. It's probably like a life jacket but doesn't work. But anyhow, it gave him confidence as they drowned. And so his mum has given him this swimming belt, and he gets on, and he's got this problem, this dilemma. Do I trust God or do I put on the swimming belt and honour my parents? He writes this, After the storm was over, the question was settled for me through prayerful study of Scripture. God gave me then to see my mistake, probably to deliver me from a great deal of trouble on similar questions now so constantly raised. When in medical or surgical charge of any case, I have never thought of neglecting to ask God's guidance and blessing in the use of appropriate means, nor yet of omitting to give thanks for answered prayer and restored health. But to me, it would appear as presumptuous and wrong to neglect the use of those measures which he himself has put within our reach, as to neglect to take daily food and suppose that life and health might be maintained by prayer alone. You know, we have people today that have the same struggle in our worlds as Hudson Taylor had in his church world. Do I trust God? What does that mean? Can I go to the doctor and get a pill from a doctor, or do I really just trust God and stay at home and pray about it? And Hudson Taylor realized that no, you use what God gives, and you keep trusting the God who gave. True faith in God does not mean you put aside the life jacket. It's mean you put on the life jacket and keep trusting the God who enabled you to have it. And so he arrives in China, 1854. Not one single Protestant missionary is in inland China. There's 5 treaty ports that the British have established in their areas of disagreement with the Chinese at that time, where foreigners are allowed. Shanghai, one of them. It's in the midst of civil war and will be in the midst of civil war for 12 years still. The Shanghai is filled with corruption. There's terrible British history. The British actually thought it would be a good way to balance their balance of trade with China, because China had lots of good stuff and the Chinese didn't want any of the British stuff somehow. So to balance the balance of trade, what they did is they actually got the Chinese all hooked on opium. And so they sold drugs to the Chinese and they got goods from the Chinese. And it ended up in a war. I won't give you the history now. 1842 was the first war, the end of the first war. So you can get an idea, there's a whole pile of government officials in China who are not really all that happy with British trade policy. So Hudson Taylor, who doesn't support that, by the way, is turning up wanting to share Jesus. And the peace, he's British. So you can understand the conflict. He wrote this as his first Sunday in China. There's lots of stuff about human carnage. I won't read it here because you've got to have lunch. I attended two services at the London Mission, and in the afternoon went into the city with Mr. Wiley. You have never seen a city in a state of siege. God grant that you never may. We walked some distance round the wall and it was sad to see the wreck of rows upon rows of houses, burnt down, blown down, battered to pieces. In all stages of ruin they were, and the misery of those who had once occupied them and now at this inclement season are driven from their home and shelter is terrible to think of. His heart for the position they're in, he's got a heart for the gospel but also for the people and what's happening to them. But you get an idea of the war that he is now in the midst of. The first two years of Hudson Taylor's time in China was not to stay in the 5 treaty ports, but to go to inland China, away from the coast. Now, that's unheard of for non-Chinese. He takes his medical equipment and goes in there. Remember the state of war of the place? And he describes that in many of his letters. And he openly proclaims the gospel and gives away tracts, gives away Chinese Bibles so that people might know who Jesus was. You can imagine the risk of all of this. And he was also a missionary that's very different from all other missionaries there, because all of the other missionaries thought that they would keep the prim and proper British dress code. He dressed as a Chinese. And so they gave him a hard time for it, the British missionaries, or the westernised missionaries. They weren't all British. And they gave him a really hard time. He had a haircut like a Chinese. He dressed like a Chinese. But the Chinese listened to him. And he goes out with some people from a different mission group, and those people recognise that to actually connect with Chinese in dress and culture to share Jesus is far better than trying to give Chinese British culture at the same time you're sharing Jesus, or Western culture if you want to broaden it. When he's in China, he does get married. He meets Miss Maria Dwyer. She's a helper at one of the first schools. I think it's the first school in China. She's a young girl working under someone else who is her the person who is her protector. Now Hudson Taylor eventually marries her. That's a long story we don't have time for, but it's worthwhile seeing what happened. When Hudson Taylor first made his offer of marriage, this is what he said to him. And it helps you know how the other Westerners think of him and also his trust in God. At the time, Maria is one of five people that are not part of Hudson Taylor's family in the whole of the city they're in who are Western. So there's a narrow group of people if you think of each other like this. She says, "Mr. Taylor, that poor, young, unconnected nobody, how dare he presume to think of such a thing? Of course the proposal must be refused at once, and that, finally." You can imagine that. And she dictates the letter Maria's got to write to Hudson to end it. She's heartbroken, but, you know, as a young girl, she obeys. But they are actually married, but you have to find the story out later. Taylor is very busy. He wants to see the gospel not go to one place, but to all of the 18, I think, provinces of China. He's involved in preaching, medical work, hospitality. And when a guy who sets up this hospital, 50-bed hospital, just dies on him, the doctor, that is, he takes over running the hospital in Ningpo. And he doesn't have the income stream that this guy had. He was getting money from England. So Hudson Taylor takes on a 50-bed hospital with no income stream. And he keeps trusting God. And the stories of God's gracious providence are incredible. And the witness that was to the Chinese community here, when you live in Adelaide, everyone knows what you're doing because they're all related to each other. Well, in China, everyone knows what you're doing too. And so everyone knows that this hospital that Hudson Taylor is taking over, they all know that he's dependent on some provision and it's just got to turn up. And it does. Well, it's a great witness to the gospel. But don't for one minute think that all of this was some sort of roller coaster ride of joy. You see, trusting God is not a Sunday school picnic. Hudson Taylor's life was a life that trusted God amidst, during, and through great turmoil and peril. His own health is dodgy. Remember, he's a delicate man. He goes with his wife, Maria, and back to England. I think they're back there 5 years. I can't remember off the top of my head. That was really hard for him. In those 5 years, he used them well. He translated or revised the Chinese Bible. He wrote many letters to try and encourage the work. And he also had the opportunity to talk about his work, but it seemed to go nowhere. And his family grew to four kids. He was overwhelmed, though, with the enormity of the task that God wants him to do. China, 400 million people. And the people doing it, him. Well, actually, there's others, but they're all on the ports where it's easier, and he's going inland. He wants to see all of the provinces come to know Jesus. This is the burden that's in his heart. Yet what was I to do? The sense of blood guiltiness became more and more intense simply because I refused to ask for them. The labourers did not come forward, did not go out to China, and every day tens of thousands in the land were passing into Christ's graves. Perishing China so filled my heart and my mind, there was no rest by day and little sleep by night till health gave way. So he's in England because he's got dodgy health. He's worrying about China and it makes him sicker. His wife, you could send him to Brighton. Sounds like Pride and Prejudice, doesn't it? Let's go to Brighton. Anyhow, and he goes down there to gain good health. So my wife's made me watch some incredible things in my life. She's got a migraine. That's why she's not here. So she hasn't left me. So he goes to church when he's at Brighton. And when he's at Brighton, the church is really comfortable. They're a bunch of Anglicans who know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And they don't give two hoots about the rest of the world. And so they are comforted in the gospel. And they don't have a heart for the lost. He walks out of there greatly depressed. In my spiritual agony, he says, "I wandered out in the sands of the Brighton beach alone, and there the Lord conquered my unbelief. I surrendered myself to God for his service. I told him that all the responsibilities of the issues and the consequences must rest with him." Get the idea? I'm not the one who's taking the gospel to China. God is. "And that as his servant, it was mine to obey and to follow him, his to direct, care for, guide me, and those who might labour with me." So let God provide the people, let God change the hearts, but I will go there and trust him. Now, needless to say, at once peace flowed into my burdened heart. Big long story, but anyhow, him and his wife write a book about China, their heart for the gospel in China, gives them lots of speaking opportunities. They start to raise some money, but not really, because every time they go somewhere, they never ask for money. they will let God, who wants the job done in China, to provide the money. So it's not a matter of their swish presentation and their emotional pressures that anything happens. You can read the stories later. He prays for 24 labourers to go back to China with him. The book enables this to happen. But the day before they sail, they still don't have the money to pay for the trip. 15 days before they land in China, this huge, sorry, it's actually not 15 days, 15 days just before they land in China, this huge typhoon hits their ship, demasts the ship. In fact, a ship that slows that sails into the bay just behind them, I think all but about six of the crew and passengers are washed overboard. So these guys, the crew, they don't want to go and save the ship. The captain of the ship is a Christian. The rest of the crew aren't. And they've spent that 5.5 months talking and praying and singing songs to Jesus. And people are starting to get interested. But the missionaries go out and chop all the masts off that are all dangling in the webbing. And anyhow, that's a longer story. I can't give it to you now. And that is a great witness that these people don't mind if they die because they've got Jesus. And a number of the crew become Christians. Anyhow, they get to China, 24 people show up, the mission starts. It's not an easy road. A few years later, they send their own children back to England, and as they make their way down to the port to send their own children back to England, one of their kids dies, and so they send three, not four. I don't think they got a refund on the ticket. And they kept one of their kids because Maria was just about to give birth to another child. Well, she and the child die just after childbirth. So Hudson Taylor's got one child here and three in England. So they've got four children. They've been married for 12 years. They had eight kids. Only four survived. She died at 33 years old. So when you say you trust God, we're not saying, hallelujah, everything's victorious. But he trusts God. He gets married to Jenny a couple of years later. They're married for 33 years and have two more children. And Jenny spends more time in England with the kids, raising those kids, than with Hudson Taylor. In fact, over the next 9 years, he's in England for China for 6 years when she's in England. Probably the hardest time of Hudson Taylor's life. Remember, this is not a walk in the park. It's not a Sunday school picnic. The Boxer Rebellion later on in China, if you know history, 58 adults and 21 children are killed in China who are missionaries. See, trusting God doesn't mean you're going to live to a ripe old age. He dies at 73 years old, the 3rd of June 1905. How did God use Hudson Taylor? Well, Hudson Taylor, when he died, China Inland Mission, so the group particularly that he founded, or that God founded through him, with a heart for the gospel for China, had 825 people working for them, missionaries, in all of the 18 provinces of China. They had more than 300 different locations in China, and there were 500 locals helping. So that gives you an idea how in that time God used a bloke who put his faith in him. In the 1900s, just before he died, it's guessed that there's 100,000 Christians in China. That's not just the work of China Inland Mission. Gives you an idea. 2014, it's guessed there's 150 million Christians in China. You see, as Hudson Taylor pursued that closer relationship with God, you can see how God used him. Now, you won't be a Hudson Taylor. That's good. There's no point you trying to be someone else, but you and I can learn from what Hudson Taylor did as he trusted God and pursued a closer relationship with him. Someone planted, another watered, but God caused the growth. What kept him going through this? I talk about his joy, his desire to be closer with God. Four children died, a wife died. Huge hardships. Well, I haven't even touched on some of them. What sustained him in that time? Well, God's peace. And the joy of where he was heading. He was absolutely saturated with God's word. And you should read the letters that he wrote to people, particularly to his sister as he was before he headed out and before he got married, even after he was married, they're just saturated with scripture. So Hudson Taylor knew who Jesus was through his word. He knew the gospel. He didn't expect that God would just overwhelm him with a flood of joy and make him walk closer with God. He pursued God. You know, faith in God is not sitting back hoping that everything's going to work out good. It's something, faith in God is an action. You get out and serve the God in whom you put your faith in. That was Hudson Taylor. And when he experienced suffering, which you noticed he did, he saw suffering as a way that God used to open or deepen and sweeten his relationship with God. So as his later guy, in his last years, he said he never makes a sacrifice. He never really made a sacrifice for God. And what he meant was that when there was a cost, wife dying and baby die, there was always something greater that God was doing. You know, she does not cease to exist. When she ceases to breathe, she goes to the place of eternity with God forever. He knew that. And he wrote, all these difficulties are only platforms for the manifestations of his grace, power and love. And he trusted God, who's sovereign. So when things went wrong, God was not having a bad day. He was assured that God is sovereign and in control. One final quote, he wrote, "Oftentimes shall we be helped and blessed if we bear this in mind, that Satan is a servant, not master, and that he, the wicked man, and the wicked men incited by him, are only permitted to do that which God, by his determinant counsel and foreknowledge, has before determined shall be done." There's so much more I could share about his life. I hope that's given you a bit of a look into it. If you do want to know more or read some of that stuff, I've got it. I can email it. I've all downloaded it free off the web. Pardon me. You can do your own research. If you want to know more, ask us. How about I pray? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for Hudson Taylor and for his family and the work that you did through him for your glory. Our Lord, he was able to trust you in all circumstances. He trusted your gracious provision. He had a heart for the gospel. He could trust you in suffering. He can trust you in good times. And through him, Lord, you brought great glory to your name. Lord, we pray for the gospel in China, and we pray for the gospel in Adelaide. And we pray, Lord God, that you might use us for your glory. Help us not to be comfortable with a comfortable relationship with you. Help us to pursue you more, to be closer to you than we were before, to trust you more, and to seek your glory in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that as we do that, you will bring glory to your name. Amen.